Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, September the 16th, 2022, 15 and a half minutes past the hour. And we're having a great morning here on WWGH Radio. Do want to remind you again, a great quote here on the flyer. Yesterday is a canceled check, tomorrow is a promissory note, but today is cash. Mary Ellen Withrow said that so many times at many speeches and gatherings she was a part of over the years. And Mary Ellen will be inducted into the Marion County Hall of Fame on Sunday, October 2nd, that is her birthday, at 5 p.m. All occasions catering will be the place. There will be dinner served. That's 6989 Waldo, Delaware Road in Waldo, Ohio, of course. $35 a ticket, not a bad deal at all, considering what it costs to even go to McDonald's at this point. And you get to hear Mary Ellen speak that night on an historic night here in Marion that you want to be a part of. Now, here's the catch, though. Today's the last day to get a ticket. You've got to get your ticket by 4 o'clock today. You can't wait till October the 2nd and show up at the door. You might be out of luck. So today, Friday, September 16th, 2022, at 4 p.m., call the Historical Society before 4 p.m., 740-387-4255, and of course, or you could stop in, I guess. They're located at 169 East Church Street here in Marion, and Mary Ellen has been the guest for an hour, and we did get a message here to know that people are listening. Barb Bradley said, as always, love hearing Mary Ellen, such an amazing genuine lady. She truly is an inspiration, and I think we all could echo that. And of course, our guest this hour is the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Linda Sims, host of Voice of a People, is joining us for the next 2 hours, duration of the morning here. So it's good to have Mary Ellen and Linda with us here. Mary Ellen, big event coming up.
Yes. Barb Bradley, was at Primrose for a while, and she modeled some clothes. They had a fashion show the other day, and it was really nice. Yeah.
Now, Linda, of course, you were here when Mary Ellen was in national office. Being a woman, and a woman who has been in the workforce, what did Mary Ellen's example mean to you, to do what she did?
It was an extraordinary and brave thing that I think.
Linda, see if that microphone's on. Did somebody flip that mic off there?
Where's the thing at?
Oh, there we go. There, now you're good.
It's on?
You're on.
Okay. Now, I thought Mary Ellen did an extraordinary and brave thing. I've always admired her because, you know, I've told her this many times. Charlotte Hunt was African-American young lady, and she worked with Mary Ellen at the Marion County Courthouse.
Yes, uh-huh.
Yes, and she, Mary Ellen, left here and went to Columbus, and Charlotte went with her, and I thought, oh my, wasn't that so nice of her to do that, and kind of to carry her with her, because, you know, when you think about African-Americans, especially back in the day, it wasn't that easy for us to be promoted to those type of, you know, positions. So I really admired her, and I thought that was so grand of her to do that. And Charlotte stayed with Mary Ellen, I think, until you went to the White House.
Yes. Well, and she was at Treasury then for many treasurers after me, which was great.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Now, was it important, Mary Ellen, to promote women when you were in office?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Why do, you know, we talked about Nan Whaley's low numbers in our number one. Of course, Hillary Clinton, we talked about her and not winning the presidency. She said in her own book she felt it was because she was a female. You've talked about some of the things you had to go through being a female. Why is that? What is it? And I know you don't like when I say this, but we've never had a female governor, never had a female mayor. What is going on 100 years after women get the right to vote that we still don't elect them to high office?
You know, back in the beginning when I first ran for school board, there was hardly any women in office. And if they were in office, usually they were there because their husband had been in office and had died, and they had been put in his place. And then women started getting elected, you know, in the 60s, well, probably it was in about the 80s when they started getting elected into Congress, and they started passing bills that affected women. I said, you know, I said, women are the caretakers, they're the coordinators, they're the cooperators, because we have to be. And I said, you just have to have that viewpoint, because you would never have it otherwise. I said, a man would have never asked me to run for school board. Two women asked me to run for school board. Mm-hmm. A man never would, because there was no women on the school board. And I never thought about that till the other day. I thought, a man would never have done that.
Right. You know, I looked you up in the one of the great things, by the way, and it's not very expensive. The Marian Star Online allows you to enroll in their archives, and you can get newspaper articles back to the 1800s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and yeah. I researched, because I put in a lot of names of well-known Marian people, and of course I put in Mary Ellen's, and it pulled up a lot of things from that Elgin race in 69.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, and one of the things that fascinated me was, it didn't say Mary Ellen Withrow. It said Mrs. Withrow or Mrs. Norman Withrow.
Yeah.
Never mentioned your name.
Yeah, they would not print my name, Mary Ellen Withrow, until 1976 when I ran for county treasurer.
That is, now when people hear that, kids today,
they would
think that is unbelievable.
And I couldn't get a credit card in my name when I was Marion County treasurer. Yeah.
Because you were a woman.
Yeah.
Now, did they tell you that when you went to the bank?
They said I couldn't have a credit card. They didn't say it was because I was a woman. they had other reasons, but none of them made sense. And I finally got a call from a Cleveland bank. They wanted to give Norman a credit card. And I said, he doesn't need one, but I do. And so then down the road, I got a credit card from a Cleveland bank. That was my first credit card. Yeah.
You know, Linda, to think about that. Now, can you imagine that women could not get credit cards in the 70s just because they were women?
Yes.
And a woman who was holding elected office in the county.
Haven't you heard, it's a man's world?
I guess it was then. Certainly was.
Well, you know, I helped a lot of women when I was state treasurer, when I had my linked deposit program. They could borrow money through the bank, because women couldn't borrow money. It was very hard for them to get money for a business. And we loaned money to a lot of women's businesses. I wish I had some of the names, because there was a whole bunch of them, and I was so happy to do that, because I thought, isn't that great?
Yes, it was great. Yeah.
You know, there are three things about Mary Ellen I want to make sure we touch on this hour in looking back at her life before her Hall of Fame induction. Because there are three things. I mean, we always talk about the road she made in the political world, and she certainly did. But there are three things, I don't know how many people know these, that she does very well. Mary Ellen cooked. I guess we should say cooked after we were talking about food during the break. So she doesn't do much cooking anymore, but she was a very good cook, passed out recipes when she ran for office. Mary Ellen painted very good, had a lot, you know, these would probably go for some good dough, Mary Ellen, if you signed these paintings.
Yes,
and Mary Ellen also, this is my one goal in life. I want to hear Mary Ellen play the piano.
Oh, no.
That's my one goal.
I don't do it anymore.
Giving it up.
I was really good, though, back when.
I don't know if people know those things about you.
Well, that's all right. I was really serious about my piano. I started taking lessons at about 12, and I took from Miss Worley here in Marion, who, if anybody remembers Miss Worley, and she played the piano right with you. when you were supposed to learn a piece, when you came in the next week, she played it with you, and she was from Germany. She had been brought over by Frederick Smith to be at the Smith Clinic, and but anyway, she taught music on the side, and she was a really good teacher.
When did you decide you were not going to play the piano anymore?
Well, I gave my piano to my daughter for her daughters to take lessons, and so that's when I really quit playing the piano.
Does it become something that if you don't practice it is...
Oh, yeah.
One of those things.
Yeah. I haven't played the piano for years now. You know, it's been a long time.
Now, when you played it, could you pretty well play anything that you had the music for?
Well, I wasn't real good at sight reading, but I was really good at stuff that I practiced. Yeah.
When it comes to painting, because that's one I don't think we ever have explored a whole lot, how did you get into painting?
Well, my dad died when I was 26, and I was trying to get my mother interested in things, and so we both went to painting class at the Marion, at the Women's Club home. Jean Wells from Delaware was the teacher. She would come every Wednesday afternoons, and we'd go up there and paint. And it was, that's how it started. And I had a painting there last weekend at the Women's Club home of my daughter and my cat, Becky and Feedy the cat. He was a Siamese cat. And it's got an interesting story. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I had sold it to Madeline Hamilton at Hamilton Stone Quarry. She had one of my other paintings of a big painting of a cat, and I thought, well, I can paint I'll paint another one, you know, when I sold it, but I never did. And so when I became U.S. Treasurer, Madeline asked me if I wanted my paintings back. And I said no, and then I was sorry I said that, because then Madeline died, and I talked to her daughter. I said, I'd like to buy back my painting. And she said, well, my niece has it, and she's sick, and she loves it. And so I thought, well, you know. So then about 3 or 4 years later, she called and said that her niece had died, and that if I gave money to the Historical Society, she'd give me back my painting. So that's, I got the painting back.
Ah.
Yeah, and I was glad to get it back, because it was Beck, you know.
Yeah.
But I've got a painting in the, they're having a show on September 30th at Women's Club home, and I've got a painting there then for that. It's it was to honor women, and I had this background. I had a chair in it, and I had gotten my grandmother's chair, dining room chairs that she got when she got married. She got married in 1888, and I said I got her name and her dining room chairs, and I was very grateful. I still have them. Yeah.
Now, do you still paint at all?
No, I quit doing that too.
There comes a time.
Yeah, I painted a few things since then, but you get out of the habit of things, just like the playing the piano. You get out of the habit of that, and then you get out of the habit of painting. And I think, well, maybe I'd like to paint something. I'll see something, and I wish I could paint that, you know. But you don't want to take the time to do it.
Yeah. It's a time-consuming thing.
Yeah.
Now, have you kept many of your paintings?
No. They're all over the world. They are. They're everywhere.
Now, with you having the museum now at Heritage Hall, are there things that you have kept that are important to you that you're just not ready to send over to the museum yet?
Yeah, I've got the sheet of money that's signed by the man that created my signature. I don't want to give that. And I've got some other things, too. Yeah.
When 100 years from now you depart, what would you like people to say about you in your time?
Well, I would like to say that they liked me.
Of course we do.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
We adore you. Yes, we do.
Well, you know, Linda, one thing I always say about Mary Ellen is that it's kind of funny because when she first moved back here, which I guess has been, boy, quite a while ago
2011.
Now, so 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. She used to come to the grocery store, and people knew who she was, mm-hmm. But they wouldn't approach her. And they would come up to me afterwards, and they'd say, well, that was Mary Ellen, wasn't it? And I said, yeah. And they, because we would talk, mm-hmm. you know, when we were in the grocery store. And I said, yeah, that's who that was. And they said, well, does she still sign money, or does she, what's she like? And I said, well, why didn't you go say hello? And there was a real, I don't know if it's still there, but there was a real, you know, oh my goodness, this is Mary Ellen Withrow doing her own shopping here.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like you would have people shopping for you or something.
Yeah. Like a celebrity, you know.
Well, Mary Ellen and I talked. She got a lot of speaking engagements when she first came back to town, and they were intercepted at one point because people thought Mary Ellen wouldn't want to be bothered with these things.
Yeah.
Did you find that when you first came back to town?
Yeah. They didn't want to bother me. Well, I got sick when I came back. You know, moving is hard on people.
Yes.
And I needed to get readjusted here. But, I think I still get stopped in the grocery store once in a while. And it's nice. I like that.
Well, it's because of the body of work that you have created for many, and still going,
mm-hmm.
still going strong. Is there anything left you still want to do that you haven't done?
I can't think of anything. Yeah, I always wanted to ski, but I think it's a little late to start that.
You know. Well, you never know. It's one of those things. When we look back, and again, not because of age, but when you left office in 2001, now we know that was the end of your political career. Did you think at the time it was the end of your political career?
Yes, I did, and I was very sad. Yeah, I was so sad about that election because of the way it ended.
What a thing to leave on.
Yeah.
The whole Al Gore,
yeah.
George Bush.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Chads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that a mess?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Where were you on September 11th?
Today? You mean this year?
No, when it happened.
Oh,
yeah.
I was here in Marion. My daughter was having her gallbladder out, and I was sitting there waiting and watching TV and in awe of what was going on. Yeah.
Because but for the Supreme Court, you would have been in office during
mm-hmm.
that time.
Yeah.
How long would you have, Al Gore, I don't think people know this, maybe they do, maybe they don't, but he'd already offered you the continuation of the job.
Yeah.
How long would you have wanted to stay in if Al Gore had got in?
Well, 4 years, but he might have been elected another four. I don't know. It would depend. I had to have my hip operated on. I remember after I got out of office, I did that right away. And I probably should have done it about 3 or 4 years sooner. I wouldn't have been in so much pain. But, I would guess, you know, he'd be in at least 4 years. And we wouldn't have had two wars, you know.
Yeah.
I think of the difference there that could have happened.
You know, Linda, when we look back at that time, that in Marion was a bit of a sad time for us. No matter, I believe Ohio did go for W. Bush, but, you know, we knew that this was going to be Mary Ellen leaving, and we didn't like that.
Oh, I didn't even live here then. I was living in
really?
Georgia, yes.
Really? You were in Georgia
really,
at the time?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had just come to visit overnight on my way back home. I think we got home at like 4 in the morning from Marion to Atlanta, and I was, you know, trying to get some shut-eye, and my sister calls me and says, are you watching the TV? We just been attacked, and da-da-da-da-da. So I did wake up, and it's about 9, I think, and turned on the TV and saw all that. But I'm sorry, I missed it.
Yeah.
Do you know Stacey Abrams?
I didn't know her personally, no.
She's terrific.
I just saw her yesterday on a talk show.
Yeah.
Do you think she's going to win the gubernatorial?
I hope so.
Georgia?
She has done wonders in the political field. I thought she ought to be chairman of the Democratic Party. I thought she would be really good at that.
Who do you like right now in politics? State or local, national? Who do you like?
I like Biden.
Biden. Do you think he's going to run again?
I don't know, but I think he's doing a good job.
Why do you think he gets such a bad reputation economy-wise right now? Could anybody do anything with this inflation, gasoline prices?
He's had a lot of things happen during his administration. I think the only thing that I didn't think he handled well was when they left Afghanistan. I thought that could have been done a little bit better. But otherwise, he's done some great things, and I think he's a good president.
You know, certainly one of the big stories we have going on right now, and I don't think we've talked about it, was the seizure of the documents down at Mar-a-Lago. That's been a big story and ongoing.
Yeah.
Did you ever think in your life, Mary Ellen, you would live to see a former president's house... now, we can't use the word raid because that's the wrong word. They tell us that. Searched.
Yeah.
And come to find out there were classified documents there.
Yes.
What do you make of that whole story?
Well, you know what I think of? I think of how hard we had to work to get our documents ready and taken care of when we had to leave. We worked very, very hard to get everything packed up and over to where it had to go. And I think about that. That's what brings to mind what happened with me.
Do you think, because this is the big question right now, do you think Trump will be indicted at some point?
Yeah, I think so.
I tell you, Linda, what do you think this country will be like if a former president's indicted?
I don't think it matters whether it's a former president or not. It's that president.
Well,
President Trump. Now that makes a big difference.
Well, and that becomes the question, Mary Ellen. We saw what happened on January the 6th. Could we be in for a problem if he's indicted?
Well, he's starting to. He was threatening the other day. He was setting it up. That's what he does. He sets things up before they happen because he thinks they're going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets everybody ready.
Do you think he's going to run again?
I don't think so, but he's probably trying to let everybody think he is.
I'll tell you, I was shocked last week. I had Jim Renacci on, who ran in the primary. He also was a senator at one point here in Ohio, and he was one of the very first to endorse Donald Trump when he ran for office. And I said to him, just kind of a throwaway at the end of the interview, I said, Jim, do you think President Trump's going to run again? And he said, well, if he runs, I'll support him. And I said, well, would you encourage him to run? And he said, no.
Oh, he did.
He said, I think he should endorse, become the kingmaker. And I thought, boy, Jim Renacci, to say that, you know, he'll support him if he runs, but doesn't really want him to run. That's the first time hearing things like that.
Oh, I'll bet that's what you'd get from the congressmen, too, that have stood by him. They don't like him.
Well, just to bring this up, because I know it's it's one of those, you know, there have only been two names in the history of Mary Ellen and my relationship of many interviews that have not been pleasant names, and one of them is, I'm just going to add, because the man is just constantly in the news, and I'm not going to ask any specifics, but what do you make of our congressman, Jim Jordan, and what he's doing?
it's constantly, I'm amazed at that he's getting by with it. I mean, it's coming up again at Ohio State. They've been on, I saw it again last night, they had the doctor's picture up there, and yeah, it's still in the works.
I'm only going to ask this, and we don't hear much from him anymore, even though he was just in the Senate race, but a lot of people have asked me, because you did and it's still on the internet, Mary Ellen did a very straightforward political ad against Josh Mandel when he was the treasurer of Ohio. And people still ask me about that interview where I talked to you about, you know, because you said, do you remember what you said about him in that interview?
What was it?
You said, I'm ashamed of you in the interview.
Okay.
Or the commercial. And it was really, because we had not heard that from Mary Ellen. What was it about Josh Mandel that you just didn't like?
Well, there was many things. I don't want to get specific.
Yeah. He wasn't one of your favorite people.
No. And what was it they were saying about him, that he had supported Al Gore? I thought, I didn't know that.
Do you have a good relationship with people who have come after you in the position of treasurer?
Some of them, yes. I don't see them. I'm trying to think of, there's been so many. There's been like seven state treasurers. And some were only there a short time. I don't know if that number is correct, but it's been quite a few. And really, I don't even know the current state treasurer's name. And we're not, if we did know it, we wouldn't say it, because...
No, that's particular to us, Marian, right?
We're hoping Scott Scherzer gets that. But, it's been, Rich Cordray, of course, and I'm good friends with him. And, he should have stayed state treasurer. You know, they wanted him to be attorney general, and then when he ran, DeWine beat him, and
You recently, it's been in the last year, took a trip back to D.C.
Yes.
What was that like?
It was weird. The fence around the White House was twice as tall. I couldn't get over it. Treasury was still closed, and it still is. We've got a new U.S. treasurer. She's a Native American, Marilyn Maraba from Connecticut, and I wrote her a letter. I haven't talked to her or anything. But just think about this. The U.S. treasurer, the first woman, was under Truman. And then this new Janet Yellen is the secretary of the treasury that was put in in January by Biden. And it took 70 years to get a woman from the U.S. Treasury to the Secretary of the Treasury. 70 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
It is.
Well, it's interesting, because when we talk about Nan Whaley, and this has been brought up in the past, when you were in the process of accepting the job as Treasurer of the United States, there was a lot of talk in those days about you running for... Governor of Ohio.
Yeah.
How did that all start? How did that all, when we've talked about it in broad terms, but what's the inside? How did that all get underway?
Well, it was, I was being encouraged by a lot of people that I respected, and it was just sort of a natural thing at that point. But then when I got offered this job, I really wondered what the federal government was like to work in, and thank goodness I went that direction, because I really enjoyed it, and I'm not so sure I would have enjoyed being governor. You know, you don't know, but maybe I would, and I might not have made it, because I was running against Voinovich, and that's a situation. Running against a sitting governor is not a good situation.
Had the offer not come from Washington, how sure were you that you were going to run?
I was pretty sure. I was starting to raise money.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that far along?
I had a big fundraiser, and it was that same night that I talked to Al Gore, and he said he would support me, and I had been called by the women executives in state government first about that. But it was very much a consideration at the time.
Was it hard to walk away from that at the time?
No.
No.
Not at all. I was so excited about being U.S. Treasurer.
Did you ever find out what it was or why it was you were chosen for U.S. Treasurer?
Well, he had a whole bunch of people on the list, and he said, I want somebody like this, 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 and this, and I was one of those. And then it got down to two people, this gal from Colorado and I, and then he told Al Gore, he said, I'm going to pick Mary Ellen, and so that's how it happened, yeah.
You know what's interesting, Linda? The other day, I was thinking about this. If you look at Bill Clinton's appointments to positions, they're similar in a way. I think about Mary Ellen. I think about Madeleine Albright, who was his Secretary of State. Yeah. And I think about Janet Reno, who was his Attorney General.
Yes.
I mean, they all were very strong, well-positioned women.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was anything to that.
Yeah. I don't know. But that's interesting.
Because the three of you, especially at that time, were very similar in presentation, and that you were really strong women in those positions.
I never met Madeleine Albright, but I knew Janet Reno pretty well, and she was an interesting woman. Yeah, very strong. Yeah,
she had a rough spot with that whole Waco situation.
Oh, and that's about when I went in. Waco was going on. And the chief of staff at Treasury, they had his diary. He had to read it in court, and that's the reason I never put anything down for about 3 years as treasurer, because I was afraid I might have to testify. I missed writing down all those things I did for the first 3 years. Yeah.
Wow. Now, have you kept a diary?
Yeah, I kept a logbook. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, diaries are interesting because mm-hmm. obviously they're usually kept for the people, but they do fall into other hands when we all leave.
Yeah.
This, and you never know whose hands are going to fall into or where they're going to end up. I often think when these diaries get published, I wonder if that person would like their diary being published.
Right. Well, I didn't put anything in there that I didn't want public, you know. It was mostly where I'd been and what I did.
Right.
Well, you know, you were always very cognizant of not saying anything. I can't remember you saying negative things about people.
No.
Even people who you probably didn't like very much.
Yeah. No, I tried not to do that.
Yeah. It must be hard, though, sometimes when things are going on.
Well, no, not publicly. You just don't talk about something negative because there's no purpose to it.
When you look at where politics are now, what's the biggest change from when you started in 1969?
Well, of course, Facebook, I think, has had a big, you know, the technology with the phones and internet and everything has just zoomed and zoom.
Yeah.
All of that is so different. Even when you have a fundraiser, you go about it differently to contact people, and everything is just going 80 mile an hour with communication, and that's the biggest difficulty, I think. Although it should be making it easier, it is making it easier, but I had a fundraiser for Scott, and it was really hard to find the addresses and things that I needed to get. That's the hard part is addresses. You don't have a phone book anymore. you know, that has addresses in it and phone numbers.
Sure do not.
You yeah. know, a lot of people talk about this, and I know it's been a big issue with a lot of people running this year, is the money to run for a state or national office.
And that has zoomed up, too. It's unreal now. I remember Gertrude Donahue said she couldn't raise $750,000, and she wanted me to run. Now they're in the millions running for state treasurer.
Now, when you were running for those positions, is it how do you raise money? Fundraisers, obviously.
Yeah, you have fundraisers, and then when they realize that you might win, you start being able to raise money, and it's difficult. People running for office now spend an awful lot of time on the phone calling people, and it costs far too much to run for office. I think it's gotten out of control.
Do people come to you when you're running for office and say, you know, if you do this or if you think of this, I'll give you this?
No,
that's good.
Mm. No.
It's bribery.
Well, we see that. Yeah. Well, you know, but these PACs now yes. we hear about.
Oh, the PACs, they weren't there. That's another thing that wasn't there when I was in office. They started about 5 years later. Yeah.
Well, I think of the NRA.
Yeah.
And I think of groups like that that they may not explicitly say, you know, we want something, but they give you a lot of money. And
yeah. I never had, there was never anything with the NRA with me, thank goodness, you know.
Amen.
Yeah. But I did have, the unions had not normally supported the state treasurer's race, but they were supporting me because Buck Reinhart was going to run for governor and they wanted to stop him early. And then this one union wasn't going to support me, and I went to talk to the head of it. I said, how many women do you have in your organization? And he said, about 54%. I said, how are they going to feel if the only woman on the ballot isn't supported by your union? So I got his support. And that was the only one. The other, the UAW and the all the unions supported me then, which was a big help, I'll tell you.
What do you think? We talked about you want to be remembered as somebody people liked, but as far as women go, specifically women, because of what you did in your career, what do you hope you did for women?
Well, I hope I gave them courage.
Yes.
That was, as I said, when a woman gets a high position, it gives the rest of us courage.
Yes.
And that's what you need courage to run. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. I see people starting to run for office, and it's hard in the beginning, very hard.
Is it hard when you're meeting people like Margaret Thatcher and Bill Clinton, who's the president at the time, and John Glenn? Is it hard to then go to a family cookout? A lot of people get egos and things. Yeah, I've never seen you with an ego, but is it hard to keep your feet on the ground during big events like that?
No. I remember when John Glenn was first running, and he was running against Metzenbaum, and it was such a tough race. I always supported John Glenn, but he lost, you know, and all of his history and everything, it's such an easy study on him.
Why did John Glenn never get the nomination for president?
Well, it had to do with money. He all of a sudden he realized that he was in debt on it, and I was with him when he decided to stop running. I forget where we were, and he was worried, you know. And then he carried that debt. That's what DeWine used against him in one of the races. It was terrible, terrible. And John Glenn couldn't pay it off. It had to be, it couldn't be his money. Yeah, yeah,
I remember that DeWine Glenn race. That was an ugly boy.
Yeah, they had that Energizer bunny, and then they put a marine hat on the Energizer bunny. I remember that really made John Glenn mad. He said, "They're demoralizing the Marine Corps when they do that." And
Well, and here Mike DeWine is our governor, and going to run this time, obviously, and may win. What do you make of Mike DeWine? He's been around here for a long time.
He has. He's been in office for a long time, and the householder situation, I know he's involved in that, and I can't understand why people would want to put him back in office when he's done something like that. That was just plain crooked.
Well, we just learned yesterday, was it, that the head of First Energy has resigned.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah, that's where we are.
Yeah.
He had to be involved in that. There was no way he couldn't be.
Well, that's going to be an interesting question in this gubernatorial race, because we are under 60 days now, and will anything come out between now and then?
I don't know, but it's I don't know how it's going to stay put.
Well, especially with this guy resigning yesterday, that certainly is going to throw
up.
Yeah,
that'll kick it off, maybe. Yeah.
The abortion issue, they say that's going to play a part in the election. Do you think it will?
Oh, I think so. I think women are upset. Yeah.
You know, the other day, John Roberts on the Supreme Court said, we're not political. We're still, well.
We've heard that before, yeah.
Yeah, I guess he had to go out and put the sanctity of the court on the line. Do want to remind everybody here, we've got about 5 minutes left with Mary Ellen here, and Linda's going to be with us for the 12 o'clock hour as well today. But big event coming up here. Mary Ellen Withrow goes into the Marion County Hall of Fame, first person living to ever go into the Hall of Fame, and there aren't too many members of this. October 2nd, her birthday, 5 p.m., all occasions catering, 6989 Marion, or Waldo, Delaware Road, excuse me, in Waldo. $35 a seat, but you gotta get them before 4 o'clock today. And the number 740-387-4255, Marion County Historical Society, 169 East Church Street in Marion. Do we know what's on the menu that night, Mary Ellen?
No, I don't, but I might find out today. I think I'm going to stop at the Historical Society this afternoon.
What's it like to go to the Historical Society at this point and have a room there?
Oh, it's nice. And then I usually talk to the docents and people that come in. There's always visitors there, and so I get to show them around.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What are people most interested in that you have found when they come in the museum there?
You know, it's different than it was when it was at Primrose. I don't know. They look around. They don't say much. I point out the Guinness Book of Records and John Glenn's $20 bill. And then I start talking about other things, whether it's the fractured currency or whatever. But they've got when I taught swimming, they've got all that stuff, and they've got my dress, and they've got a special section for foreign money, and that's an interesting question. They've got my book. And the gal that wrote the book was to visit me this past week, and she said, you ought to tell them that to put a sign up says they can see the book in the library, because they got the book way up high. I don't know whether they thought somebody'd take it or not.
Well, are you surprised, because I was there when the official opening ceremony happened,
mm-hmm.
Are you surprised the attention that gets paid to the dress?
Yeah.
I was surprised that night. The people I was around, that's one of the most commented items, is the dress that you wore.
And you know what they'd say to me? Don't you wish you could get into it now? I said, I'm a lot thinner now than I was then.
That's right.
Right.
That's what was so funny.
Yes.
Well, and the one thing I will say about the dress is that this museum, have you been to it, Linda?
Not since she...
Oh, you got to get over there.
Yes.
This, first of all, the pictures are great on the wall of the people you've met and the things in the cases. But the dress, I mean, this really looks like it's got lights on it. I mean, it looks like something you would see in one of those Hollywood museums.
Well, they've got the seal of the treasury down at the bottom. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's not very visible, but it's right down at the bottom. They were waiting forever for that top case to come in.
Is that right?
They had the case that was on, but the thing that went over it got broken or something, and they had to get another one. But anyway, they were so excited about that case, and that's the first thing they wanted when I told them I was going to bring my museum. They said, we want your dress. And I thought, well, I don't know. Well, yeah, it looks good. So,
well, I remember years ago, because somebody had commented, because we had the video of Mary Ellen being sworn in, and somebody said, well, what happened to the... People care about clothes.
They do.
Some people said, well, what happened to the dress? And I said, well, I really don't know. And I said, I'll ask Mary Ellen what happened to the dress. And one of the interviews we did, you brought it in, but you didn't think it was a big deal. You just said...
No, I didn't. But...
Yes,
I think that it's good, but to me, it isn't what I did.
That's true.
You know, I there's a lot of pictures that aren't up that I would like to have up that could be hanging where that dress is. Yeah.
Why did you keep the dress?
Oh, I keep my dresses. Yeah, that's an important... I got my wedding dress yet.
Really?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask you, you know, obviously, as we all get older, we lose people. When you go into the Hall of Fame, is it tough when people aren't around who were around in your life, aren't around for an event like this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends are gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss that. Yeah.
That's one of those eventualities in life, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But your health is very good.
Yeah.
What's the secret?
I don't know, but I'm very grateful.
Did you ever follow any kind of special diet or anything?
No. Well, to lose weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mother gave me cod liver oil pills when I was a kid. I give her credit for my health.
Mary Ellen, what will this birthday mean to you with this? It'll be Mary Ellen Withrow Day in Marion. This ceremony will go on. It was kind of unfortunate. Your last milestone birthday was held under the pandemic. I was able to come out for that, but a lot of people couldn't.
That's right. Well, I never thought I'd be celebrating my 92nd birthday like this. You know, I never thought I'd be celebrating my 92nd birthday.
Wow.
So anyway, it's gonna it's gonna be a fun night. Yeah.
Just to end on a fun note, because one of the things I want to say about Mary Ellen, and she'll be back on with me now that I'm back in the studio. So certainly, it's not gonna be the last time Mary Ellen's on. And we got elections coming up here. So Mary Ellen's gonna be very important election night with our mayor running for treasurer.
Oh yeah,
that's gonna be high insight.
Yeah,
Here's what I always say about Mary Ellen, and this is the God's honest truth. From the first time I ever had her on the radio, she has been nothing but nice to me over the years. She has went on remotes. She's played game shows on the air. She's went to the hot dog stand, the root beer stand.
Well, I haven't got there this year.
Neither have I. I'm going to have to get there.
Yeah, right.
But Mary Ellen, I cannot remember a time where I ever asked her to do something that she said no, unless there was a conflict in time.
Yeah, yeah.
Mary Ellen always says yes, and it's always fun when she, and she's a fierce game player. Now, there's a secret, I'll tell you that. When we did the game show the one time with me and Buckeye Guy, boy, she won every game. We didn't have a shot in that thing. But, you know, it's just, you will never meet a nicer person. The person you see is what you get, and has done so much for really just women, men, the city of Marion.
Yes.
I cannot think of anybody else. You know, I thought the other day, you know, Harding does get mentioned a lot, and well, he should, but Harding had some scandals and some picadillos in his life. You never had to worry about that with Mary Ellen.
So there. Thank you, Scott, for all those nice things.
The wonderful Mary Ellen Withrow, and of course, Linda Sims will be with us next hour. Don't miss the big call, the Historical Society. This is something you're not going to want to miss. It is going to be historic. 740-387-4255. Back with Linda Sims in 15 minutes, and we'll recap what happened this week.
Location will be on Sunday the 18th from 2 to 4 in the afternoon at Central Baptist Church, 2816 Marion Waldo Road. A memorial service will begin at 4 at the church with Pastor Eric Dunkey officiating. Burial will take place at a later date. You may leave an online condolence at SnyderFuneralHomes.com. For Sharon K. Burkett of